And we're talking to Hannah Jones, CEO of the Earthshot Prize, and inspired by U.S. President John F. Kennedy's Moonshot Challenge, not to be mistaken with a multi-party charter's Moonshot Pack in South Africa's political and electoral discourse, but the Moonshot Challenge in 1962, where JFK says that we will land a man on the moon within a decade, and the Earthshot Prize was launched in 2020. And it's to search and to scale the most innovative solutions to the world's greatest environmental challenges. And we're joined now by Hannah Jones, the CEO of the Earthshot Prize, of course, founded by the UK's Prince William. Thanks so much for joining us. You're in Cape Town this week because this is where Earthshot Week will be held. It culminates in the awards ceremony. And it is a sought-after prize, not just because it holds much gravity, but it's also a £1 million prize, which then goes to an innovator, a philanthropist, someone who's working sustainability, to then really, really get into the meat of the project. But welcome to Cape Town. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Just talk to us of how, since 2020, the Earthshot Prize has been playing such a very, very important role in this concept of sustainability.
Well, thank you so much. Yes, we were kicked off in 2020 by our founder, Prince William, the Prince of Wales, in the United Kingdom, really with the objective of doing two things. The first is, how do we search the world for amazing solutions that, if scaled, could help restore oceans, replenish nature, get to a zero waste world, fix our climate and clean our air? So we look across those five categories and we're looking for solutions that could come from anyone, anywhere. It could be a startup, it could be a local not-for-profit, it could be a government or a city. We don't actually mind where and who does it. What we care about is, if this solution went to scale, could it help save the planet?
Yeah, because when you think about the big problems that we face as a world, as a global society, we think it is either governments or it's multinational corporations that are providing the answers with the multi-billion-dollar euro or pounds R&D divisions. But on the continent of Africa alone, we have these grassroots innovations that may work in a little street, works in a village. But imagine if we can take that solution that fits there and scale it.
Absolutely.
To then benefit millions, maybe even billions of people.
So one of the reasons we're here in Cape Town and actually in the continent of Africa is because over the last 3 years, as thousands of nominations have come into the Earthshot Prize to be selected for the ultimate prize, what we've noticed is incredible creativity coming out of the continent of Africa. And exactly to your point, this message that we have is, this is an entrepreneurial opportunity, it's a creativity opportunity, it's a young people job creation opportunity. Let's not talk about climate change like some far distant thing that someone else has to solve. When we come to South Africa, for example, yesterday I was down at a fishing harbor with the Abalobi group that works with the fishing community in South Africa to help them raise their incomes by fishing sustainably and selling their products into top-end restaurants. We work with the Green Rider group that are here in Cape Town. You'll have seen the bikes with the green wheels, right? They're training young people in townships to become e-mobility riders, and in doing so, taking cars out of the equation in Cape Town, which is good for your air pollution and for your carbon and for your safety in your streets. They're also creating jobs for those young people. So we love the creativity we're seeing coming out, not just in South Africa, but across the African continent. And our goal is to put a spotlight on that creativity to the world and show that the world can learn from what's happening here in Africa.
There were something like 400 nominations for this year's prize based in Africa, but whittled down to, I think, is it 15 finalists that judges will adjudicate and then award the Earthshot Prize to? Just what is the process of whittling down 400 nominations to
it's
only just
15? So painful, I have to tell you. It's wonderful. And what's wonderful about the pain that we're all going through is, every year since we started the Earthshot Prize, we've basically pretty much doubled the number of nominations coming in. And as you said, thanks to the Multichoice group and a lot of our partners here in Africa, this year the nominations coming in from Africa have just flooded in. And I suspect after we come to Cape Town in November next year, we'll have even more. So the selection process is really tough. We have around 70 expert advisors that go in and look at every nomination. By the way, nominations come in through official nominators. So there's already a high quality because they've been already pre-selected. And as we whittle down the ideas, looking for diversity and ingenuity and impact, and we're looking for amazing stories of the people behind the solutions, then we have at the end a prize council made up of really incredible people who look at the top 15 and who then select the top five for prizes of £1 million each. Now, my job as CEO of the Earthshot Prize is to not just worry and care about those top five, it's to look after the whole 15, that cohort of 15 finalists, and to help them to scale their solutions. So what we do is go out and put a spotlight on the 15. We seek to crowd in money and support for them. We look for mentors and advisors. We run a fellowship program for a year, and we'll be bringing those new, that new cohort of finalists to Cape Town for a fellowship retreat here, where they'll get masterclasses, meet incredible people, and then go on the global stage.
It's also part of I think, provoking conversations that will be had around sustainability, reducing a carbon footprint, and also a just transition away from fossil fuels, but also many developing countries saying, also give us a shot to sustain us and to build an economic platform that many, many countries in the West have already had. And now they can start scaling down. I'm sure you've seen the interview with the Guyanese president, Irfan Ali, with the BBC. And for many people, it was an important conversation to have, because they've just now discovered several million barrels of oil in Guyana. It could be a very important boost for that Latin American country, Namibia, up our South African southwest coast, similarly. And Irfan Ali says, yes, but it is not us as the global South and the developing world that has seen the greatest contributor to greenhouse gases. In fact, he used the example, no one says anything about Guyana, who has probably the world's largest forestation program to offset fossil fuels. So this conversation of what is a just transition and giving developing countries the chance to economically stabilize themselves. Your thoughts on these conversations that we must have?
We have to have these conversations. And I also think we need a mindset shift across the world. So let me explain. I think there's absolutely a key conversation that has to happen around just transitions, because the global north has been the emitter of emissions and the global south has been on the front end of the consequences of those emissions. And that conversation is a critical one. But what we see on the global stage is a conversation that is laced with defeatism and denialism and anger. And whilst there's a place for those things, what we're seeing is that there's also an opportunity. And what we would like to challenge the world is to think about this through the lens of urgent optimism and economic opportunity. We see green jobs emerging just from our portfolio of thousands of solutions from around the Global South, by the way. 60% of all our nominations are from what's called the Global South. And that is a very intentional, deliberate representation, because what we want to showcase is that some of these jobs, many of these solutions, are leading to new jobs that never existed before, where you can be balancing how you restore nature with how you create economic prosperity. Whereas in the past, it's been about how do you extract from nature rather than to create jobs, rather than how do you move into conservation, whether you go biodiversity. Let me take the example of Costa Rica. Costa Rica was one of our first winners as a country for their corridors of biodiversity, where they protected biodiversity in Costa Rica. Well, some of the latest research coming out of those corridors is showcasing how it is raising prosperity for communities that were on the front end of poverty because of conservation-based jobs that are being created. So I think The key piece of this is we need a global narrative and dialogue around just transitions. And then we need to unleash a movement of climate creativity that really focuses on marrying new green jobs with the agenda of how you protect Cape Town. We had a day zero practically, right, a number of years ago. Think about the water shortage. Think about the way in which heat waves are hitting across Africa. Those are things that are driving migration. They're driving a loss of employment. They're driving people's incomes down. Let's flip that narrative and look for opportunities.
And that's that opportunity through innovation that you're talking about. Pan Jones, really appreciate your time. CEO of the Earthshot Prize in November, Earthshot Week here in Cape Town, with also an awards ceremony that celebrates this year's 15 finalists, with five of those winners being awarded a £1 million prize. That's about 23 million South African rand to scale their sustainability solutions. Anna, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your time here in Cape Town.
Thank you so much.